With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom, reach new audiences, and bring important information to the public, free of charge. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom, and donate today. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate.
Welcome back to Greenwash. You're with Jaspreet and Dawn here. Hope your Monday's been good so far. And to make it a bit more fun, we have the climate crazy section here, rounding off this morning's show. And nothing could be the crazy for me anymore than the climate marches, than the school strike for climate that had kids up and down all the major cities, and the media absolutely, I don't know, gushing over it. Tom, is that a term you would use? The media was there all the way.
Gushing, fawning, I'm not sure. It wasn't great, was it?
No. So let's have a listen to this one. This bit that they call journalism here from One News.
Skipped school today to take part in a nationwide climate strike. More than a dozen events held around the country demanding urgent action on climate change from the government. But in a challenging act, one senior minister questioned the timing of the protest, calling for students to be marked absent from school. Abby Wakefield was among the crowd.
What do we want?
Climate justice!
Who do we want?
Now!
Dodging the school bell. To sound the alarm instead.
The challenges we face in the coming decades are immense.
We're seeing extreme weather events with increasing frequency and increasing damage.
I'm terrified because I know I'm going to die from climate change.
This is the first school strike for climate under this coalition government. The demands this year include keeping the oil and gas ban, ending the fast track legislation, no new mining and drilling, honouring Te Tiriti, and climate education for all.
This protest in the capital is one of 20 up and down New Zealand with students calling for urgent action on climate change.
The frustrations in which they are raising today are genuine and are real, and are frustrations that as Minister I share, because you know we've got a significant challenge to meet the targets that we're committed to.
But not everyone's supportive of students missing class.
Wow.
I thought we had a change of government, Jaspreet. The minister, was he James Shaw that was on there? Didn't make sense.
Believe it or not, that was a National MP, Minister for Climate Change. And Simon sounds just like James Shaw.
Just parroting the same stuff. Is he trying to take a centre line so he can have some support on left and right? Because he's definitely going to get pressure from ACT and New Zealand First to wind back if they don't rein him in. And the Prime Minister doesn't tell his minister to just read the tea leaves a bit better. There's going to be some blood on the floor over that. That was a nonsense comment from the minister, an absolute nonsense comment.
But perhaps that is because, Don, as I would say, and, you know, listening to what Ileana had to say, perhaps it's because they're all singing from the same song sheet.
Oh, yes, that's been constant for years. We've said there's a tissue paper between them. It's hard to see it, and it's probably a transparent tissue paper because you can't really detect the difference. I was amazed at some of the comments in that article as well, that clip, because one of them was actually quite sensible. We need to educate climate change for all. Well, that's 100% what we need to do. If we're going to talk about climate policy, we need to educate about climate to begin with. And clearly it's been about indoctrination, not education.
I couldn't agree more. And the same thing. If you have ministers saying this, if you have, you know, our elected representatives saying this, what chance do the children have? What chance do the children have? No wonder they're out on the streets.
Well, that young lady with the longer hair, she had sort of slightly reddish hair. She was talking about the world's ending. She knows she's going to die from climate. I mean, this is in New Zealand. How bad is that? I mean, I can't believe that we've got young teenagers thinking like that. Someone has put the fear of the future into them, and the people that have done that need a hell of a big wake-up call.
100%.
Oh, what have you got next? What have you got next? TV One again. Are they playing up?
Gosh, this is One News, and now they have an ongoing series on the big climate questions called Climate Check. Yeah. I will mispronounce, I'll try this. They also call it Teora Oti Ahurangi. So
good work, Jaspreet. I'm over pronouncing the stuff. I know that perhaps I'm just an old fossil, but I can't be bothered with learning a language I don't need.
That is perfectly fine. As we said, freedom of choice, individual personal responsibility. So this is Melissa Stokes talking about how individuals, that's all of us, and that team of 5 million, you know, we did a part during COVID, how we can now play a part by cutting climate change causing emissions in our lives.
Every day, every one of us is producing emissions. Experts call it a carbon footprint. And to help the environment, we need to make our foot size smaller. Like many things in life, it comes down to choices. And we can all do something to lower our individual or household emissions. Food's a big one. It accounts for around a quarter of our day-to-day emissions. So try taking meat out of one meal a week. That reduces a typical family's emissions by around 7%. And don't forget to have a meal plan. All this rubbish we chuck out, around 32 kilograms per year, wastes all the carbon used to produce it. Here's a staggering statistic. By next year, the world's digital activity could produce the same amount of emissions as all the cars produced today. The best thing to do for climate change and our mental health is to close our devices. Mum always told me to go for quality over quantity when clothes shopping. It turns out she was right. Buying clothes that last is good for the planet. Top tips are to check buttons, stitches and zips are sturdy and go for fabrics that aren't see-through. The fashion industry produces 10% of global emissions, so be laser focused when shopping. Decide what you need and only look for that. Hard, I know. And don't forget vintage and second-hand stores. Driving less is one of the best ways to reduce our carbon footprint. Trouble is, us Kiwis love being in the car, driving 49 billion kilometres per year. So if you're up for it, why not find some friends to carpool with? Hi!
Hi!
Most of our car trips are really short, 2Ks or less. So think about taking the bike to the local dairy or to school. Like anything, all these little steps can really add up.
Wow. Are you laser focused? Are you absolutely laser focused on your clothing purchases, Jaspreet?
Oh, gosh. I don't know what she was wearing, what her wardrobe was from. But there she was, standing very well dressed in a charity shop, an op shop, exhorting to all of us climate wandals to only shop vintage, recycled, secondhand. And before anyone, you know, grumbles, I enjoy off shopping. But not when I'm told to, only when I do so out of my own free will.
Good work. And I'm going to tell you, that was a Juliet Hogan little ensemble that reporter was wearing. Do I know my bloody fashion? Jeez, I'm right up there. Yeah, but isn't it arrogant for highly paid, very well-dressed reporters to be sounding so virtuous? I mean, you and I know how you've talked to me and I've talked to you about how we love to make sure that we've got an efficient sort of lifestyle. And we don't like waste. I mean, the other point she made there was with food waste, that we don't want to be wasting that carbon. Well, the carbon's going nowhere but into a waste stream. The carbon's not lost to the planet. It's still there. It's just in a different place. But the whole thing was, I don't need, and New Zealanders don't need, that virtuous education on Easter Sunday, let alone any day of the year.
Oh, but and if she might, you know, take some time out of a busy life to listen to John Clauser and others,
yes,
she may realize that she's got nothing to fret after all. Imagine, Melissa, how freeing that would be. You'd be liberated of all your worries.
Yeah, it'd be totally liberating. I don't think she was worried about any of it, actually. She was just the mouthpiece for the segment, of course. But, you know, there's a whole bunch of videos under that that banner, the Climate Check. And, I mean, no wonder people are anxious. No wonder people live in the fear of the future or fear of tomorrow or have with a fear of tomorrow. And no wonder our little kids and at school are wondering, what's this all about? Adults are making the stuff that just is fear porn and you get sick of it.
Talking of fear porn, that's my next climate crazy headline. This is by Professor Ralph Cooney of Auckland University. And he wrote an article which on the newsroom, it clearly states it's an opinion. Thank you. The headline is How to Avoid a Billion Climate Deaths.
Oh.
I mean, just ballpark, a billion climate deaths. One out of every eight people living and breathing. That's 12.5% of us, of humanity.
By the end of the century.
Is going to perish due to climate change. 1 billion. Again, it's a given that carbon is a killer. No one, you're not allowed to question that. You're just supposed to go along with the narrative that there's this 1,000-ton rule, recently confirmed by a survey of 180 peer-reviewed research. So climate bandwagon, as Dawn and I were talking about during the review of Climate the Movie. So 180-odd folks have jumped on the bandwagon and they decided that every 1,000 ton of carbon dioxide causes one climate death.
I think they extra carbon dioxide. I think they're overstating it by a factor of 10 if they do their maths. But yeah, who am I? I'm only a lowly rated farmer from the southern part of the world. It's interesting, isn't it, how Professor Cooney, he talks as if it's his information almost through that article. But it's actually this challenging conclusion has been reported by Professor Joshua Pierce from Western University in Canada in the conversation and by Professor Richard Pankut from the University of Graz in Austria. So it's not even his data, but he makes it look like in the headline it's his. And of course, he's in Auckland University, I think it is, and spilling this stuff into the New Zealand media.
Climate consensus, climate bandwagon, the same things he highlighted. But isn't it funny how, again, talking as a layperson, I have never claimed climate credentials at all. Talking as a layperson, a CO2 molecule is a CO2 molecule, regardless of where it comes from. So our annual human emissions of carbon dioxide are 29 gigatons, while natural sources account for 750 gigatons. That means human emissions of carbon dioxide are 0.04%. That's a proven fact. But somehow, when it comes from natural sources, CO2 is fine. But those 29 gigaton or that 0.04%, that's what you're all focused on. How amazing. I love the way science works. I've enjoyed the way science works over the last 4 years. The science chain masks were bad. Masks were good. Two shots will do it. Now we have the third booster or the fifth shot. And it's still evidently really, really safe and effective. I'll tell you what, carbon dioxide is really, really safe and effective. Melissa, beat that.
And even there's one comment under the article of Professor Cooney's, and it says, it's by Kieran Keogh, and he used to be the CEO of Environment Southland, actually. I find these sorts of opinion pieces interesting, paradoxical. And while I fully accept that we are stuffing the planet's atmosphere full of greenhouse gases, behind this sort of paper lies the fact that we're all in denial that we live in a continually changing biosphere. Well, to me, he gets it wrong. He fully accepts that we are stuffing the planet's atmosphere full of greenhouse gases. We. How much is the we stuffing into the atmosphere?
0.04%.
Well, no. We're 3% of that is what the article. So much, much less. 0.0012%. I mean, stuffing, that's hardly stuffing. And when you've got methane at 19 parts per million. Is it? No, 1.9 parts per million.
1.9 parts.
Yep. I get that wrong each time. And nitrous oxide, I mean,
They have no idea what they're talking about.
We are not stuffing the atmosphere with much, actually. And if what is being added is having such a small effect on warming, eminent physicists say that. Who are we to disbelieve them?
Yeah.
Exactly. So anyway, that's and you know, we've got the Royal Society in New Zealand. I don't know what's going on there. It seems like the engineers, we have John Scarry on talking about engineers. It seems like all these sort of supposed the top tier academic people are all infighting, and it's around politics rather than science and real rigor. I don't get it, but the Royal Society seems to be in turmoil to me.
Well, hopefully they self-destruct. I've seen the left feed the left. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
What else have you got there?
Well, some truth, actually. Some not so crazy headlines from Neva that we've just survived the coldest March in a decade. I could have told them that sooner, but at that point they were all clamoring about how it has been the hottest month ever. Oh. We could have told them that, Don.
Well, it's variable, isn't it? Depending on where you are, how they can make these assertions just beats me. I've read that article. I mean, it talks about how March the 25th brought the heaviest hourly rainfall for Milford Sound in 5 years. You know, this is sort of supposed to be on record, but all of a sudden you read the next bit in 5 years. I mean, it's not. Everything's got a caveat.
Exactly.
But they put the headline doesn't have one. It just looks so convincing.
4.6 billion years of the Earth's existence, 2 million years since man, Homo sapiens, modern man, emerged. That's 0.0004%. That's how long we've been here. The Earth has changed. It always will. You're 0.04% of CO2, solving it. Meanwhile, destroying your energy infrastructure, destroying your food resilience, all of that.
And interestingly, just go back to Steve Coonan in that in the movie The Cold Truth. He talks about the past being 13 degrees warmer than today. Now, I put that in, maybe that's Fahrenheit, but I think it's actually a week on since I said that. I think he does mean centigrade. We are in one of the coldest times the planet has ever endured.
Yep.
That's clear. And yet we're worried about some warming, as if warming has never occurred before. I mean, give us a break. We've had a whole 3 hours of this. I know you're getting a bit
I enjoy this. Honestly, it is refreshing to be able to talk about this. You know, you and I, we've often talked amongst each other. God knows we've bonded over this. Otherwise, in another lifetime, maybe our paths wouldn't have crossed. And I consider it a privilege to, you know you among friends and be able to do this with you. I'm forever grateful. But I have a couple more that I'd like to add into the list. The Morrisons Egg Range in the UK has received its first, I think the UK first, carbon neutral certification.
Mm.
Better for our planet eggs.
Yeah. So how did they do that? What was the what's the standards they have to? What were the hoops they jumped through to get
Guardian,
that standard?
Guardian was handy a couple of years ago. You know, when they were going onto this, the Guardian put up this article saying hens would be fed insects to lay carbon neutral eggs, so the chickens' diets emissions were cut. The ones that were linked to soya feed, and that was the biggest thing that they did. And then, I don't know, there's a circular feeding system. They were feeding them insects, maintaining the health, welfare, and they used renewable energy to power the hen house. Now, you know, my hen house, my chook house, it's got mesh. The hens wake up when the light comes in. I'm not powering them to, you know, lay copious amounts of eggs. They're just fine. But it seems you can do a lot more. Who knows? I might just find some inspiration here.
Well, good on them, whatever it is. if it's the consumers buy on price, most consumers of eggs buy on price, because that's the way the world works. And if you want to pay more for your eggs because they've got higher credentials, go for it. But, you know, this seems like what would be, apart from, you know, the circular feeding system. I mean, I understand it. We had chooks when I was a kid too. And yeah, you put them out and you give them they peck away in the grit and they get their crop full, and that helps them, you know, crush their food effectively. And they had beautiful orange yolked eggs. Yeah, it's what you can do. But yeah, it's not for everybody, and it would not give consumers the lowest cost priced eggs.
It's just like the B Corp. You're paying for a certificate if you want to.
Yeah.
It says that in addition to this, you know, insect diet and the renewable energy, in addition to this, the woodlands, hedgerows, grass, and wildflower meadows were maintained and developed to capture and store carbon. So if you can tick a few boxes, you can have carbon neutral eggs. I wonder what sort of price premium they claim for them. But I can tell you, as a consumer, when the proverbial S hits the fan, all you care about is getting your hands on eggs. You don't care about anything else. And I think with the food inflation where it is,
Well, you know, and people, they've jumped that hurdle and they say they've got a market niche. Good on them. But it won't be for long, because other people will do the same hurdle jumping, and all of a sudden they'll just have equivalents and the price will be what it will be. I mean, branding and provenance and all that is fine if you can manage to get a price premium. Good on you. But you got to watch your back, I'd suggest.
Totally. You got to watch your back. Well, with that, I think we should call it a show, Dawn. It's been a great morning, a great afternoon now. And we've had some great guests on today. We hope you enjoyed the show. And Dawn, ready to call it a day?
I think I'm ready to call it a day. Look, we have had great guests, and we're in their debt, really. Every week we seem to strike really good guests, and you know, people that you and I would have had no reason to have called up before. So we hope our listeners enjoy the sort of mix of guests we bring, and we'll try and keep doing it. See you next
Absolutely.
Time.
Absolutely. Yep. Please keep sending us your feedback on 2057 or our email address is inbox@realitycheck.radio. This is Just Breathe and Dawn signing off Greenwatch this week. See you again. Goodbye.
If Reality Check Radio enriches your day and life, support us to keep bringing you the content, voices, perspectives, and the dose of reality you won't get anywhere else. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate.